You ready to rock and roll?
Yes, sir.
Ready.
Let's go.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another Barnes podcast. I'm your host, Dale Evans. And today I've got Andy Sparks with me to my left and Colby.
Oh, here's the test. Let's go for it. Go.
Adamic.
Oh, wrong.
See, Adamic. Adamic.
You got it.
Yes.
So right. I didn't think about this, but my wife was telling me, she's like, it's like atomic, but with a D. And I was like, yeah, that's a good way to go about it.
That is a good way to go about it. Yeah, so we've got Colby Adamic here. He is the Sierra Marketing Manager. And today we're going to talk about the Harvest Collection. We haven't really dove into that with this podcast. And as we're getting, you know, close to whitetail season, right, back in the Midwest and the South, I think it's really important for us to kind of dive deep into this. So, you know, we wanted to bring Colby on, right, as the Sierra Marketing Manager, product manager as well, right? Like, you obviously have a pretty damn good grasp on products and talking about TGK, the Tipped Game King. I think it makes a lot of sense. So my first initial thought, and probably a lot of the questions that I think that we got when we first launched this back in April, is why would Barnes ever load, one, another manufacturer's bullet, two, a lead core bullet?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who wants to jump into that, if it wants to be Andy.
Let's let Colby, though, before we dive deep into that, give a brief background, right? People don't generally care about your background, but at least it gives you some credibility. So
it's just that doesn't care about the background. Other people care.
Hit the high points.
Sure. Yeah. So my name's Colby. I've been in the outdoor industry for 10 years plus now going on. Spent the majority of that time at a brand called Stone Glacier. For those of you that aren't familiar with Stone Glacier, it was started out as a backpacking brand. Manufactured hunting backpacks that evolved into other soft goods, technical apparel, sleeping bags, tents, all that different stuff. And while I was there, just got to wear a lot of different hats. Started off, I was actually their second employee, and it was like that internship introduction to an outdoor brand, right? Like I was in college and the dream was being in the outdoor industry. And at the time it was trying to find a way to stay in Bozeman, and Kurt had put up a job posting for just summer backpack building and order fulfillment and doing all that stuff. So I got in the door with Kurt back in 2014. And at the time it was me and Pete Munich, who was the GM, and just, doing all the things, building packs, fulfilling orders. We had a little cell phone that we carried around on us for our CS phone. Answering emails, running the website. And
I think that, one thing that's kind of cool, right, is that I was in Bozeman at the time. I was actually in college as well. Yep. And that's where we kind of got to know each other when you started working there. Because I was doing some stuff with Pete, right, like with both Stone Glacier and Rocky Mountain Goat Alliance. Yep. And I actually filmed a spring bear hunt and everything. And, like, I got into Stone Glacier there. So, like, Colby and I kind of
cross paths early on.
Cross paths like super early on, almost a decade ago now.
Oh, so you guys go way back.
Way back. Yeah, there's like that niche crowd of us that I feel like got in in college, coming out of college, that have stayed in and stayed close.
Yeah. So is it safe to say you guys are like in the cool kid club?
Oh, so cool, man.
Okay.
You can't tell?
Yeah. No, you're
I mean, obviously that's why you hired us.
Yeah. So I guess getting back to that, that whole like being a part of a brand and a growing brand in the space was super cool. It was the point in my life where like the passion was as deep as it will ever be, has ever been, right? Like that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Not that it's not anymore. But yeah, so was there, did that as time evolved, the brand grew, got into more of the operational side of things. Which was also a really cool part of that business, seeing how different systems work and how a business runs and like optimizing it over the years was really cool. Cause you know, different things make sense at different points in a business's life cycle. So, seeing that all evolve over a 10-year span was really cool. And then my last 2 years there got involved in like the product management side of things, which ultimately was what I've always wanted to do there. It was, you know, super cool, super fun to be hands-on with the product and control the product and see that input come through and the product that we're all there to produce and sell. So that was really enjoyable. And then my last year there, did some brand management stuff for them as well. And just got to the point where it's with a lot of brands, you kind of wearing a lot of hats, right?
Yeah. But, and I mean, but it's really cool, right? Because coming in as literally the second hired employee for that brand and then to see it grow to this giant brand in the space, right? In a very short amount of time, you know, on top of it, right? 8 years, 10 years that it really became one of the top apparel and backpack brands. I mean, obviously backpacks are kind of what got them started, but I mean, they quickly, like their apparel took off and, you know, being very highly technical and everything like that was really cool. And like you said, with being able to wear so many hats, right? You've been able to see, you know, you come in as just a backpack builder to then doing
intern. You call me an intern.
Right, exactly, that's what it was. Right? And then to be able to kind of make that progression like very quickly as this brand's growing and being able to see everything is like just a really cool story. And being able to be a part of that. So
No, it was awesome, man. And candidly, that's right. Like that was one of the hopes and dreams that I had going into a small company, right? Like starting with that brand, I very much so was taking a pay cut to be there, you know. Could have went and chased the corporate monster right out of school and chose not to do that with the hopes that like it would give me opportunities to be involved in different ways, you know, quicker than I might have otherwise been able to. So that experience, I would say, outside of just working in the outdoor industry, getting to see a small business grow and go through its paces, like in and of itself was a really cool experience there. And then, back in March, was just kind of ready for that next opportunity. And if I look back at my hunting career, like, yes, I've archery hunted, and I'd call myself an archery hunter to an extent, but much more so a rifle hunter. And so I think, I saw the job post, and you might have posted it. I think I reached out to you directly. New gym there from just crossing paths and industries prior, and was something I was interested in right away, so reached out to you guys and went through the paces, and luckily it's been awesome. It's been really fun and getting to learn a whole new business. It's funny how, you know, how similar the hunting and the shooting industries are, but also how different they are. Like there's different crowds, it's different, just different in many ways, I'd say, but it's been fun. It's been really fun. So
Well, that went longer than I expected.
I forgot to hit record.
Just gave me a hard time.
Yeah.
No, but it is really interesting bringing Colby on as we talk about Harvest, right? That whole idea of like growing a company, right? Like that's a perfect segue into this, I think, right? Because it's always been about how do we grow the Barnes brand, right? And I think as we have talked about Barnes being known as that Western hunting brand, that all copper brand, right? When I started over a year ago, it was, okay, how do I grow the brand? How do we grow it to not just be, you know, what they call the knockdown pack out champion of the West?
Right.
How do we just be the knockdown pack out champion? Right. Like branching beyond the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what Harvest really does, right? Yeah, it allows the brand to grow from a consumer standpoint, from a consumer base to a geographic base, right? And you're really reaching the largest hunting segment in the country.
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, I think Vortex, there were quite a few people out there that was shooting whitetails, stuff back in the, you know, the east side of the country, right? With Vortex and with Pioneer and those type of things. But, you know, it's almost like overkill in a way for that type of species. So bringing Harvest along, really, like you said, like I think it makes a lot more sense for, I would say, the typical whitetail hunter in the Midwest, in the Southeast, whatever you want to say, to shoot this cup and core, you know, a little bit cheaper. And also, we really brought the right calibers, I think, to the marketplace when we brought Harvest as well. So, okay. Let's let's dive into, I think we could still kind of dive into like why Harvest Collection, right? Like, I mean, you kind of hit it a little bit there with expanding, but I think that we can go a little bit deeper, right? Is, I mean, just talk about the price point in itself, right? I mean, you look at Vortex, essentially our cheapest Vortex is $55 a box, let's call it $50 mm-hmm. to $55 a box, where every single thing of Harvest is under that, which is great, right? So yeah, let's kind of talk a little bit deeper into, I guess, why, you know, people in the Southeast would need this over a copper bullet.
Yeah. I think when we start with the why question, I think it has to just go back to audience, yeah. right? Like, I think we start there at the biggest level. Western hunters, as serious as they are, as intense as they are, is a very small market,
yep.
right? At the end of the day, you can't argue with it. It's a small market.
Yep. Yep.
And when we started looking at how do we grow the Barnes Ammo brand, like I immediately went to the whitetail market. It's the largest hunting market in the United States, if not the world.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, you know, there's all kinds of business models, right? Are you big fish in a small pond, small fish in a big pond, like yada, yada, yada. I think you have, as an ammo brand, you have to have a strong presence in the whitetail market right. to succeed, right? Yep. To be relevant and to have an impact. And so that's really, you know, in terms of growing and why is, okay, well, what solution can we offer the whitetail hunter?
Yep.
And paying, the Vortex product line is fantastic, yep. right? All copper. But as you've pointed out, it's expensive,
right.
right? It is more expensive than the typical whitetail hunter would like to pay, mm-hmm. right? So at that point, it became, okay, copper as a commodity is an expensive input, right? How do we bring a product to a consumer that makes us relevant at the price point the whitetail hunter is attracted to? You have to go lead. Like, you have to go... you have to go to a cup and quart bullet, right? Yep. I don't think the copper was not going to be the solution there, right?
Yep.
And in order to keep your doors open, right? I mean, at some point, it is a business, right? So you have to keep that in mind. And so as we thought about, you know, does Barnes make a bullet? Like, we're obviously sister companies with Sierra. The Tip Game King is a tried and true behemoth in the whitetail industry, right, for hand loaders.
Yep.
It just made all the sense in the world. They have the bullet there. They have the technology. They have the legacy. They have that experience. Well, let's leverage that.
Right.
Right. Other ammo manufacturers around the world use different bullets. Right.
Yep.
There are other OEMs that load Barnes bullets. They load TTSXs, you know, LRXs. They load Sierra, Match Kings, Tip Game Kings. Right. Why not Barnes?
Yep.
Right. And really what this is about, and you and I have talked about it a ton.
Yeah.
It's just an option.
Right.
That's all it is, right? It is an option for the consumer to go shoot something different if they don't like their current availability.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was kind of one of the main points that we wanted to make as, you know, the launch happened and we were starting to get, I'll call it feedback rather than flack. Feedback of why we would do this, right? Is like, we want to be able to give people the most amount of options out there. That way that all you have to do is be a part of the Barnes family and you have something to shoot. Like, regardless of what you're going to do, it doesn't matter if you're shooting 100-pound whitetail in the Southeast or you're coming out west to hunt elk that's 800 pounds or 600 pounds, going to Alaska to shoot moose, going to Africa to shoot elephants, right?
Yeah. Like,
we have an option for you, and we just want to invite you into the family and give you that option.
Well, and I think it's fair to say flack. Like, I wouldn't shy away from that. I would say we did get some, right? Yeah. There was some negative feedback. It was small. I think generally the general public kind of understood what we were doing.
Right.
Haters are going to hate. Like, you're not always going to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
But I think it was important to know too. Yeah, we preach all copper because of the performance and all that. This satisfies our performance requirements, right? Like, let's start there, right? Let's start with the fact that this is an outstanding bullet.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it satisfies all that, but it is just an option. It's not like we're moving away from copper,
right?
Right? Barnes Vortex, Vortex LR, all that stuff, yeah. It still exists. It's still out there.
Right.
We're not telling you you have to shoot this.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. It's just an option for you if you're price sensitive.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And getting back to the price, $39.99, $44.99, there are tried and true whitetail lines that don't have this technology and this quality of a product that are more expensive than that.
Right.
I mean,
considerably more expensive.
Right. This is an absolute kick-ass deal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For the brand names, the quality of the products at that price, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting, like you said, I mean, you're addressing another customer need, right? Like, you guys have built a reputation around Western hunting. That is largely around your copper bullets, you know,
right?
There's a trust there for your copper bullets. Mm-hmm. At the same time, from my perspective, I think it's a really cool solution for shooters that are interested in lead, because I feel like you guys have built up a reputation just around, like, in specifically to your loaded ammunition, the quality and how well it shoots. And, like, what a cool option here that you have this price-sensitive offering,
right?
And people might hear that and think, oh, how's it shoot? Go look on social media for yourself. Like, the groups that are being...
Yeah.
Posted on this affordable, budget-friendly, loaded ammunition is incredible.
I mean, when we started to kind of like look against competitors, I mean, our tolerances and everything were tighter than some of their literally highest priced items in match grade quality stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, again, for the, I hate to say price sensitive, I like to say consumer friendly price.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we are trying to look at, you know, let's try to give them the best possible deal and still give them pretty kick ass ammo.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, I think, what we've done with Harvest. But to kind of get back to it, right. Like, the tolerances are incredible. I mean, some of the groups that, you know, and it's not just us shooting it, right. Like, what you were kind of getting at with between social media, different writers that have used it and tested this, right? I mean, getting sub half minute of angle type of stuff with $39.99 ammo is pretty wild.
I think that's a cool aspect. Like, there's a portion of this, right? You're catering to the Barnes crowd, and, you know, of course you want to do that. But, like, I get excited because for the Sierra crowd, here's this awesome solution. You know, here we're a component manufacturer, right? So we're selling to the hand loaders. We're doing all that stuff direct. But this gives us an option to point a consumer to a loaded product with our bullet that we've seen the results. We've tested ourselves. We've seen how it performs.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe whatever, if it's a busy year and they've shot Tip Game King, well, hey, I can point you towards a loaded ammunition option, you know, that is shooting really well. It's marked as affordable.
Yeah.
So it's another outlet for Sierra too, right? So, like, kind of being selfish, like, there's the story that Barnes is telling, but it's also a cool opportunity to give additional resources or support to Sierra shooters that, you know, maybe they want a boxed option, or maybe they're just buying it for their grandkids, you know, or it's for their deer hunt or whatever.
Like, well, and one thing, you know, recently the Hunting Public guys did that cool video showing off the Harvest Collection, like talking about like what they're going to be shooting this year. And I felt like it was almost a Sierra ad more than it was a Barnes, you know, like sponsored video, if you will. Right. Like, yes, they're a Barnes / Sierra ambassador and they're shooting our ammo for everything that they're doing. But I mean, Warb went into extreme detail about just how awesome Sierra was when he had the opportunity to visit when Andy and I were over there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was really kind of cool to see just how much that being in the Sierra facility, seeing all that it goes into making Tipped Game King, Match King, all that, right? Really had a effect on him, if you will, and just how much everybody was like, I mean, even Ranch Fairy was talking about, like, I've been shooting Sierra Game King for 20 years.
Right.
Right. But I always had to load it.
Yeah.
And now this gives me an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's, we've talked a lot about Sierra and the Tip Game King, right? But we haven't really talked about, like, the bullet.
Yeah.
Right. So, like,
yeah,
tell us about the Tip Game King line.
Yeah. So this just makes total sense. I feel like when you look at our hunting bullets, I like to break it down, and You know, you, I mean, really for big game, right? You have your game king, yep. You have a tipped game king, and then you have like our pro hunter, our varmint stuff. And so I guess, you know, taking varminter out and blitz king out, because those are more small game varmint sized right. animals. You're really looking at your game king, your tipped game king, your pro hunter stuff.
What about match king X?
And Match King X. I'm sorry. That's the one I was looking for. And so, yeah, Match King X is hugely important here. So if you look at your game king, if you kind of put these on a sliding scale, on one end of the scale, you're going to have penetration and weight retention.
Yep.
And at the other end of the scale, you're going to have large wound channels.
Yeah. Rapid expansion.
Rapid expansion, less weight retention. Tipped game king falls in the middle of that.
Right.
Whereas on the weight retention and penetration side, you have the standard game king. On the expansion, you know, slow impact velocity expansion,
yeah.
Big large wound channel,
yeah,
you
massive,
have
yeah.
you have match king X.
Right.
That middle area, you have tipped game king.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that bullet fits the need of 80, 90% of hunters. If you're within that 500 yard and in range,
right?
Which, if we're being honest with ourselves, is a lot of us.
Right.
I shoot a fair amount, and like when I'm in the field, that's probably me.
Right.
But yeah, what makes that bullet do both those things really well is that, you know, it comes down to the hardness of the lead. There's different ways when we put those lead into bullets that we can control how hard that lead is. And
mm-hmm.
the softer lead is going to expand easier, right, than a harder lead, and it's going to get better penetration.
Yeah.
So you find yourself in this middle ground where it's hard enough to get you the penetration and punch through bone like you want.
Right.
But it's soft enough that the upper reaches of those mid ranges out to, you know, 600 yards.
Yeah.
With the support of that tip that's going to help start that expansion
right.
and that softer lead core, you're really covering the sweet spot for a lot of hunters.
Right.
Whereas on each end of those, you have more special use stuff, I'd call it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this because while this is branded, Harvest is branded as, you know, going after the whitetail hunter and right. is offered in calibers that make sense for whitetail hunters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those same calibers could be taken and used on a hunt out west, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what's really exciting is you're going to start to see some of this crossover use. You're going to sell this to a guy that's going whitetail hunting, and he's going to have
a mule deer tag.
A mule deer tag or an antelope tag, right? And he's going to be able to take the same stuff and go out west with it.
Absolutely.
I think as the word gets out even more on the affordability of this loaded ammo and people see how it performs, how accurate it is, I should mention that this is another bullet that we hold to the same accuracy standards as our match king, right? So
yeah.
You're kind of bringing in again that match level accuracy,
right?
With that tipped bullet, you know, it's just a more efficient, it's more aerodynamic, it deflects wind better, so you're going to have a better BC historically with these bullets.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, while it's designated for the whitetail hunter and consumer,
right?
It's going to have a lot of crossover use.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's exciting to see.
Like, obviously we have a big whitetail buck on the box. And whitetail is probably our number one quote target audience, yeah. if you want to call it that. But at the same time, I would call it just straight a thin skinned game hunting round. Now, are there going to be people that probably shoot an elk with it this year? Probably a pretty damn good opportunity of that, right?
Yeah. For sure.
Are there people that are going to shoot bears with it or something like that, right? Or mm-hmm. even potentially sheep, right? Like, I think that you could do something with that. But I guess what I was trying to get at is, you know, I took this on a hunt last year. I killed whitetails with it. I killed antelope with it. Colby and I took it on a hunt earlier this spring, right? And we hunted axis with it. I mean,
it's killed bear.
Yeah.
Right. It's been on a bear hunt.
Right. Exactly. It was in Alaska this spring with the Savage crew and Hootie Hoo and all that. Right. And I think they killed like 5 bears in 4 days or something up in Alaska with it. So, I mean, it does everything that you need it to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's like with the specific harvest ammo, right?
Like
this has been a staple in the Sierra line for a long time. And
yeah.
guys have I'm guessing, right. killed everything under the sun.
Yeah, with it, right? That's a fair point. That's a totally fair point, right? We're talking about harvest, yeah. right? Game King has killed, Game King, right? Has killed countless other things.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, and I think it's important to say, and I don't mind kind of peeling back the curtain a little bit. When we started talking to the Barnes team about this, they were absolutely reluctant, right? I mean, they were like, man, we make really good bullets. Why do we need to do it this way? Like, I don't know. You know, they were very apprehensive. And it was kind of like, all right, I'm going to give you a chance to like, go test this, some of these things out. Go get, you know, we'll get a bunch of different bullets, you know, different manufacturers, right? Like, let's prove to ourselves that this is the right thing to do. They didn't know that it was going to be an edict anyway. Like, no, we're doing this. But, like, they were able to prove to themselves, like, this is a damn good bullet. Like, this passes, you know, our expectations, exceeds our expectations. So we do have a level of comfort doing this.
Right.
Right. This wasn't just like kind of created out of nowhere, you know,
or like forced upon us because we are sister companies, right? We could have went and got a Nosler bullet or something like that if we wanted to, as other OEMs do as well.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about like just the process? And just like, because you were here, right? Colby came in a little late,
right?
Kind of prior to launch, right? You were there from kind of ground zero,
yeah,
right? So, like, from your perspective, talk a little bit about the process. And I mean, there were really amazing moments, right? Like, huge breakthroughs, and there were really frustrating times too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that was kind of one, it was, you know, trial by fire for me, because it was just as soon as I got hired, it was like, oh yeah, by the way, we're launching ammo in 8 months or something like that, right? A whole new line and everything. So I was able to really kind of see what all it took to be able to, one, develop loads that, you know, the Barnes family is extremely happy with, right? And just all that testing that goes into that. So that was really, really cool. It was also kind of cool to see, you know, these guys were kind of butting heads, right? Like,
they're competitors.
Right. Like, they're competitors.
Historically, they've been competitors.
And it's like, well, we're wanting this type of BC out of this bullet. Well, we have this bullet. And it's like, no, like, that's not good enough. Like, go create something new. So, like, literally, the Sierra team had to kind of go do that and manipulate a little things, right? Just to make the Barnes team a little bit happier. And then vice versa, like Barnes had to kind of give a little bit for the Sierra team to make them happy. But to see, again, just like all the different testing between 100 yards, 300 yards, shooting this out to 600 yards, right? Seeing the gel test, seeing all the Doppler data that went into it to really be able to give you true BC and true ballistics for all of this. And again, at a budget-friendly price point. You know what I mean? Like, we're still putting it through all the rigorous testing that we do day in and day out for arguably our cheapest ammo that we have available right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was really cool, as well as, you know, kind of going through the process on the marketing side of how do we tell this story, right? Like, we're literally making a 180 away from everything that Barnes is known for as a company.
Yeah.
And we're going to go a different direction. How do we tell that story and also convey it to, one, our loyal fan base, but also this new customer that we're trying to attract? And how do we hit home with that, right? Like how do we reach those people that we want to?
Go more into that, because I think, like, you had a huge, huge part in the branding story, right? And that whole process. Talk a little bit about why Harvest.
Yeah.
Like, not why the product, why the name. Like, where did that all get generated from?
Well, and luckily for me, right, like, I grew up whitetail hunting. And to be candid, right, I was probably one of the only people that was a big part of this, other than maybe Mitchell, right, with growing up in Minnesota. But, like, I was one of the only people that really had that background of hunting in the Southeast, hunting in the Midwest, and chasing whitetails all over
the
country.
Barn side.
On the barn side, right? Sorry. So as we kind of did that, you know, right, we started kind of thinking, like, what sets us apart in our branding story that other people haven't told that story? So that's when we started thinking about, you know, in the fall, right, in the Midwest especially, there's two things that people are doing, really. They're harvesting crops and, you know, not to have a pun here, but they're harvesting deer, right?
Well, I think it's, a pun is appropriate, right?
Right.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. I mean, they're literally harvesting their crops and they're doing all that. And they're trying to get that done as quickly as possible because hunting season is either in or it's coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And there's only a limited time amount of that. So as we kind of started working through different names and all of that, right, we ended up coming down to Harvest Collection. And to be honest, I was kind of a pushback on that because I think that there's this weird thing about saying killing an animal versus harvesting an animal, right? And I was on the side of like, just say what you're doing. You're killing something, right? You're shooting something. So harvest was always kind of hard. But as I kind of like thought through the branding and thought through this name process and we really dove deeper, right, over the course of 2 months, I want to call it, it started to kind of click with me. As soon as we finalized a name, then I was able to really start to let my creative side, right? And I have, again, some of that background of filming hunts and doing all that through college, that I could put that storyline together, right? So we came up with the idea of, you know, showing the family life of a Midwest farmer, mm-hmm. right? A young guy that wants to pass on this tradition of both farming as well as hunting to his child, to his family, right? So we were able to work with, you know, a team to be able to put that together. And I think that it was really, really cool to, you know, that was one of the bigger projects that I've ever done in my life of telling that story. And, you know, everybody that we've sent it to between, again, influencers, writers, as well as like hearing some of our competitors, once that we made that launch, like come up to us at NRA.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my really good friends from other manufacturers, like coming up and be like, dude, you nailed that.
Yeah.
Like you told the story as best as you could. Like this launch is one of the best that I've seen.
Yeah.
Like it was really cool for, I think, overall for the brands, right? To be able to see that reaction.
Yeah.
But also just to kind of hear that from, you know, some of our competitors.
Yeah, I was excited. The employees here and at Sierra, right, are huge fans. And so that means a lot to me,
right?
But the other piece that really made it hit for me was hearing when Randy Brooks saw it, brought him to tears, right? That was like the whole branding piece and the name. He was like,
I had not heard that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Brought him to tears just because he was like, you guys did, like, you're just carrying on the Barnes legacy, right? This is exactly what we had imagined, right?
Well, and if you remember as well, and it happened to Greg, right? While we're at NRA, I think it was like second or third day of NRA during like the launch of this, he has this guy come up from like Ohio or something that had driven down and came to the show. And he's like, first thing he did is he walks in the booth and he's like, wear one of those harvest shirts.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got to get one of those. So he ends up getting a harvest shirt. And he's like, I just want to tell you guys that seeing the branding piece come out and like everything go and like watching that video, he's like, that spoke to me so well. He's like, I'm a TTSX guy. And he's like, I'm not changing. He's like, but you nailed it on the harvest thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like,
yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We're not asking you to change.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Again, it's just about options.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I think it's safe to say, like, I would say it's not perfect right now. Yeah. Right. I mean, give a little hint on, you know, what's coming. Right. I mean, between the two of you, right. Like we're not done.
We're definitely not done. We did again get some flack, right? Of like, hey, why'd you only come out with these 9 cartridges, right? Like, why would you put a 223 in there?
Yeah.
And again, right, like it's a thin-skinned game. Like, you don't have to think we did a lot of research of like what 9 calibers, like if we're gonna come out, and I think that we truthfully were gonna come out with like 7 or 8 originally.
The original number was 7.
And then we ended up expanding it to 9 because we're like, well, we can't leave that off the list. We can't leave that off the list because it still makes sense. So, you know, for example, it's like, well, why would you do 223? Well, you could also argue, why would you do 300 Win Mag?
Yeah.
Right? Do you need 300 Win Mag to shoot a whitetail that's 150 pounds? No. But there's also a hell of a lot of people that shoot a 223 to kill whitetails in the Southeast, right? Mm-hmm. But also it's a great cartridge for hog hunting.
Yep.
You can shoot coyotes with it. You can shoot, you know, varmint with it. Like that's the way I look at it, is like, we tried to be very well rounded in our initial launch, but also understand that's only initial launch. Right. Like if you look at any ammo line across the board, they always have an initial launch, and that just gives us opportunities to expand the line further as years progress and as the ammo matures, right? We kind of see where the holes are and what people are, quote, asking for, needing, wanting, and then that gives us that opportunity. I don't know how much I want to hint at things just because I want people to be able to get some of this year rather than saying like, well, I'm just going to wait until it comes out next year.
Yeah. There's more to come, right? And on the Sierra side, Sierra's going to have a huge part of that, right?
Yep. Yeah. I think it's like getting back to like, you know, deciding on the calibers that you come out with and why that many, it just gives you flexibility, right? I think if you go too many, then you get on the weeds of having to push it out. You know, every caliber you add is a production to support that caliber. Right. And that's adding time on your project, right? So you're balancing, how do I come out with a product offering that's going to cover the masses,
right,
and appease a lot of people, and give us space to grow and evolve this and, you know, fill gaps over time and be nimble. Like what's the hot caliber? It allows us to be flexible with what the market's doing, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say definitely expect this, just like you would with any other ammo line or any other bullet family. They evolve. There's additions that come.
Well, and I think it's also something to say, right, is that retailers only have so much shelf space, right? So if you come out with 20 offerings right off the bat, they're only probably going to buy three or four of them.
Yeah.
Right. Versus if you can come out with 7 to 9, maybe they take 7 of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you also have to think about that when you're coming out with that. And this gives us that option, right? Is like, let's say this year they picked up 7 of them, and then we come out with, I'm just making a number up here, people, but like, let's say that we come out with another 5 for 2026, right? And then they pick up 3 more of those. Well, now we just got a little bit more shelf space for harvest or for other lines, right? Like it expands their opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that makes a lot of sense, and one of the reasons why we have to think that way as well.
Right. And from their perspective and from Barnes's perspective, right, you have to see it succeed a little bit.
Right.
Right. We have this proof of concept.
And yeah.
This is something new. This is a Western hunting
brand. Yeah.
That's merging into a new market. So as we need to see it succeed, or you need to see it succeed, so do the retailers. And
I mean, I think you guys want to see it succeed as much as we do.
Yeah. We all do. Exactly.
It just means more bullet sales for everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't you go through the list of available calibers?
Okay.
Right. Just to be.
Yeah. So we already kind of talked about 6.5 PRC and 223, right? And I think that's kind of, and 300 Win Mag. And that's basically top and bottom. But we can also talk about, we got 308, which is like the number one cartridge that's sold essentially across the country.
Yep.
Weird. 308 is pretty popular.
Yeah. Weird, right? with that, we also have 30-06, which again, weird. Like, if somebody doesn't, which I don't have a 30-06, so it's kind of weird for me to say this, but it's like, if you don't have a 30-06 in your safe, like, what's wrong with you? That's the one cartridge that you're going to find on a shelf somewhere.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. What's wrong with him?
I know. I have a lot of guns in my safe, and a 30-06 is one that I've never bought in my 30 years of hunting now.
I just figured everybody got handed one down from their grandfather. Is that not true?
I got a 30-30 handed down to me from my grandfather, and then I went to 270.
Yeah.
So I went with the better cartridge than the 30-06. The more efficient cartridge is why.
Oh, okay.
6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody could say 6.5 Needmoor, but you know, for a deer, it's great.
Hey, I'll stand here and support all the 6.5 guys. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never owned a 6.5 Creedmoor until I started shooting matches, and 6.5 Creedmoor makes a lot of sense for a match.
Yeah.
Okay, 223, 270. Again, my personal favorite when it comes to whitetail deer hunting. 243.
Warbs, Warb's shooting 270, isn't
he? Shooting 243.
243, okay. Yep,
which is the next one that I was getting to.
Okay.
And yeah, Warb talked about that, right? That's a handed down gun that he got from his grandfather.
Yeah.
And it's 50 years old, right? But it still shoots lights out.
It's crazy.
My stepdad hunted with a 243 for as long as I could remember. I went to, he was like, almost like, why do you need a 270 when you can kill him with a 243? But again, whitetail, it's great. 243, 7 rim mag and 300 Win Mag. Again, I think 7 mag is on the upper limits. 300 Win Mag's on the upper limits for whitetails, but at the same time, dead is dead, as I've said many times before.
And not that we have to like justify what we do, but like to some degree, I think we should. You know, you commented on all the research we did, right? As we went through this lineup, it's like those last two may sound kind of oddballs, but like when you actually dive into the research and figure out what people are using in different parts of the country, they pop up as one of the top 10 most used calibers for whitetail.
Yeah. In my previous job, when I worked with North American Whitetail, Haynes shot 300 Win Mag. It didn't matter where he was at in the country, he was going to shoot 300 Win Mag.
Yeah.
And even for me, I was 19 years old and it was time for me to buy a new rifle. I went and bought a 7 rim mag.
Yeah.
And I hunted with that for the next 10 years. And it didn't matter, again, where I was at in the country. I had a 7 rim mag and I knew I could kill anything.
They're the classic cartridges, right?
Right.
If you're going to go buy one gun to do it all, those ones are always in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
What else do we have? What else should we talk about?
I think that we can talk a little bit about, you know, we did get a little bit of flack about like, why did we go with like 180 grain for a 30-06 versus like the traditional like 150 grain or 165 grain. One of the reasons was that we did want to go a little bit heavy for caliber, right? Like, we get a lot of flack on the Barnes copper side that everything's too light. So then we made heavy bullets and we got flack that everything was too heavy.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do this?
Yeah. I think it's fair to point out, like, for every offering, we're only coming out with 1 grain weight.
Right.
Right. Like, trying to simplify, right? Give options, but make it simple for the consumer, right?
Absolutely.
So they're not sitting there going, okay, here's a 308 and there's 4 different grain weights. Right. Like, what do I need? Right. Here's your offering. Right.
Yeah.
This is your 308.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely. So with 308, we have 165, which I think is kind of a traditional offering in a lead offering. But, excuse me, with 30-06, right, it is 180 grain. But again, I mean, if you're only going to be shooting a whitetail, let's say 200 yards, right, like going down to 160 grains, you're only going to gain 50, 100 foot per second out of the muzzle. Like, what's a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it makes more sense to make sure that you're getting that penetration. And I think that made a lot of sense for us, right? And again, I mean, we tested multiple different, because TGK does have those type of offerings that we could find what fit best for our loading, like what we could do for the testing, what was going to give us the best gel results, right? And, and all of that. So every single one of these were hand-picked, right? Like when we were looking at the 30 caliber bullets, right? Obviously we could have put a 165 in there instead, but it was like, well, the 180 just shoots that much better.
Yeah.
For the 30-06.
I think that goes a little bit to your, like, we offer one caliber or we offer 1 grain weight per caliber. It's just making the consumer's job easier, right?
Right.
There's been a lot of thought that's gone into that. So rather than, do I need this or do I need that? You need the one that we've decided on because we put a lot of thought into it.
Right. We put a lot of R&D into it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we tested all of the bullet grains,
right?
The different grain weights, right?
Right.
And
right.
These were the best performing time and time again.
100%.
You know, and going even, if you talk a little bit about like heavy for caliber, you brought it up, right? You've seen that across the board at Sierra, right? That is like all the rage,
right?
And that's part of your job now. It's like, how do you match that trend, right?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely heavy for caliber is the hot thing right now, right? And I think it makes sense. It's where shooters are today. You know, everything is making shooters more capable today compared to where they were 10 years ago, from the equipment, from just how often people shoot, how seriously they take it. Like it's a new game, and there's no denying with those, you know, heavy for caliber offerings that your ballistics are better and, you know, everything supports it. So
yeah, 100%.
This has been a lively podcast. I'm super passionate about this one. Like, this is, I'm so pumped about this and like where we're going and the future of both of these brands. Like, this is just the beginning. Like, I get I'm jacked up.
Yeah, I mean,
I've also had an energy drink.
I know, like,
doesn't help.
We have energy drinks and coffee that we're like sipping on this entire time, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, one of the cool things as well is, you know, again, you always like to drop little nuggets for our listeners, is this potentially opens doors to be able to do more things with Sierra and the Barnes family, right? As Sierra has, you know, or continues to be a component only company, and with Barnes being the loaded ammo side of the house, if you will, for the family, I think this only offers us more opportunities to give other people opportunities or options.
Yeah. I think, you know, you talk a little bit about the flack, right? Of like loading someone else's bullet. I would say it was pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Right. Like before we launched, I think I woke up in the middle of the night one night and was like, oh my God, what if this is just flat out not accepted?
Yeah.
Right. Like in the market, like that was a real concern.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a few people pointed it out, but again, it's just an option,
right?
We're not telling you to not shoot copper if you want to shoot copper, like all that stuff. But I think the reception has been overwhelmingly positive.
Yep.
And so it does make you start thinking like, okay, how do we continue to marry these brands, and how do we continue to leverage decades of experience in both houses to just create the most amazing product for consumers, right? Because that is, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Because if we don't do that, there's no point in us being in business, right? There's no point of us existing.
And to be honest, like if we're not doing it, like the consumer tells us, because they're not buying our product.
Right.
And from everything that I see, it's hard to keep some of this harvest stuff in stock between on our website and on retailer shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I would just say again, big picture, it's cool to see. I think the walls getting broke down between both brands, right? It opens both sides up to a lot of data, a lot of intrinsic knowledge, a lot of collaboration, pointing out where there's gaps, pointing out where there's opportunity. And like you said, it's just alluding to some of these opportunities that are coming to fruition now and options down the road. So it's exciting times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of hinted at it a little bit, right? And you've only been here, whatever it is, 6-8 months now. But seeing that growth between these two brands working together is incredible. And also seeing, you know, Sierra guys helping Barnes guys figure out something, or vice versa, right? Barnes guys, like, kind of going back and forth when we're in our weekly R&D meetings and everything, to be like, you know, they're kind of bickering like, oh, I want 117 grain, or I want 120 grain, or I want 119 grain. And it's like, well, just do the freaking 117. You know what I mean? It's almost like you need that outside source. And that's what I feel like both of them kind of play.
Yeah.
Is that everybody in the walls of either Barnes or Sierra, you know, gets going down a one-way track, but then they can't see the bigger picture. And then like a Barnes person can kind of come in and like do that, or vice versa.
Yeah.
One last thought that we haven't hit on is, where is this going to be available, or where is it available already? I think that that's pretty important for our audience to listen to, or potential new audience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly available on our website
right
now. You know, we have obviously most of our business is built on the success of retailers, right? Yep. So, you know, you can find it at various retailers, whether they're, you know, online retailers or brick and mortar, right? But it's going to be available across the country. There are, I don't know if I want to say like store names, right? But what I'll say is, it is based on who is buying it. It is available, whether it is, you know, small mom and pop in your town, right? Or big national global retail chains,
right?
Have also bought into this, right? And will be assorting it in their stores. So,
yeah.
When you think about where you're going to have it, there's probably not a store any further than 20 miles from you, is my guess, where this won't be carried.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like the distribution has been massively successful.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of options for consumers. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think I would be, now they may not carry every caliber, right? Because like Dale alluded to, you know, a retailer's going to buy four calibers, this retailer is going to buy the three other ones or five other ones, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's going to be ample selection out there.
Yep.
Right. And if you can't find it, you can always order it on the website.
Well, and I was also just going to say that, you know, like if you're on our website and you're not ordering it from there because you want to go look at it in store, is that you do have the Find a Dealer tab on our website.
That's a great plug.
That you can, thank you.
I love that.
It's almost like I'm the marketing guy or something,
that's
right?
That's great.
That you can use the Find the Dealer tab, right? And look at what retailers around you that maybe one doesn't have Harvest and they only have Vortex or Vortex LR or Pioneer or whatever that it is. But like maybe there's another one that's 3 minutes down the road. And again, if you're already on our website, guess what? You can order it directly from there and it's probably going to be on your doorstep in about 2 or 3 days. And you don't even have to spend any gas money to get it.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
So, and you can get free shipping if you're $150 or more.
Yep.
So,
yep. That's right. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think this is a kick-ass deal. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the future of it. I'm excited how far it's come from just conception to like being executed.
Yeah. I mean, we were definitely kind of in a time crunch to get it done when we decided to launch it, right? We could have definitely pushed it all the way back to 2026 launch. Yeah. And instead we were like, no, we want to get this out. Like this is a great product. And then it gives us opportunities to expand the line, which we are doing in 2026.
Yeah.
So be excited for that.
Yeah.
And I think that the expansion of this product, like or the line extensions of this product are going to hit home for a few of those states that might not be able to do it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair, right? So stay tuned for early 2026, right? Yep. Especially if you're in some of those states that have
restrictions,
right? It's coming.
Yep, absolutely.
Any last parting thoughts here? Atomic with a D.
Yeah.
how was your first Bullet Points podcast?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, you're doing a great job with it. It's fun to see. This is my first time to the Barnes facility.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for my tour to come.
Yeah. And but go shoot at the underground range a little
bit. Yeah, if I can talk you into that, heck yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? We got a few guns to choose from, and I think we can probably scrounge up some ammo.
I was gonna say, let's go shoot some harvest.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.